Well, welcome. Welcome to NLCF. My name is Mike Swan. I'm one of the pastors here. It says elder. We kind of use that term, but everybody uses that term a little differently. So pastor is fine as well. Want to give a special welcome to parents. Welcome, parents. Somebody give parents a round of applause. All the parents that are here this morning. And have loud a little round of applause for like siblings, brothers and sisters coming. All right. Good. It's always great to have y'all. For older siblings, it's good to for you guys to be able to experience things. For younger siblings, maybe you're experiencing the future right now. Maybe you're inventing the future right now with Virginia Tech, and you're seeing where you might end up later in your life. If so, we welcome you to your future home. Hope you guys are having a good morning. Obviously, we had a good, fun football game last night to watch, to stream on ESPN3. it's a good game. It was a good day. I'm excited about this series. I'm excited about delving into more of what God would call us into as a community with prayer, looking into the Lord's Prayer and seeing what it will speak to us. So with that, let's pray, and we'll start into things. God, I thank you for leaving us so many things that can guide us in our relationship with you. For leaving us this prayer that Jesus said, as he tells us this is how we should pray. God, we can't say that we always fully grasp how our communication to you, our prayer, adjusts and changes things, but you tell us that it does. I'm not sure how that always works, God, but we believe in faith in the things that you told us. God, we are so thankful that you listen and that you care for us and that you desire us to have our hearts intimately linked with yours, both as a community, God, and as individuals. We pray that you would lead us and show us more of how to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and created and were created. That's from Revelation 4. We'll talk about that more in just a second. But we are doing this series on prayer, on the Lord's Prayer. And Jim started it last week, and he emphasized that what Jesus says is this is how we should pray. Not necessarily this is what we should pray. And there's a distinction there in that it is good, and we go with, you know, the Christian church has been reciting this prayer together and praying that together for centuries and centuries. But it's not necessarily just there for that. It is also there to show us how we are supposed to pray, which I think is a good distinction there that Jim made. It's not to necessarily limit our prayer. It's more to be a jumping point, a guide, a starting point. You may notice that Jim and I did some creative titling with this one. we are pretty creative. The Lord's Prayer is the series name. Thinking outside the box, very creative. And last week you might have seen that, or you might have recognized that the talk was called Our Father, and Our was capitalized, and Father was not capitalized, because he was going into the point where Jesus says, this is how you should pray, Our, and he stopped right there, and he talked about how our prayer is to be a communal thing. Jesus starts that word with Our, because prayer is to be something that we experience together. Now, that doesn't mean we don't also have times. We know that Jesus went alone to pray. We know that he told us to pray, to go away into our prayer closets, which obviously looked much different than what our closets look like today, but he did tell us that there were those times to be away, but he also directs us that this is something we're supposed to do together. And Jim talked about some of the concerns we sometimes have about praying out loud or praying in a group. And he kind of worked through some of those things. I think the church over history has moved powerfully when the people are people of prayer. And this week we're going to go and concentrate on this part of it, our Father, talking about God, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're gonna just cover that part of it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to use the older part. So let's start with that first chunk, our Father. He is the Father to all, right? He is a Father to you. And that's very difficult for us to imagine sometimes, that God is our Father. This great, massive King of the universe, right, is our Father and cares for us very deeply. It would be really amazing if our lives really reflected that, if we could really fully grasp the fact that we have this all-powerful, great Father in our life that cares for us. So we're going to watch here the realization of a young child of a fatherhood experience. Now, this wasn't his own father, and this wasn't God our Father. This was a realization of one of the greatest moments in cinematic history. And I say that not tongue-in-cheek. I say that meaning this. In 1979, they re-released Episode 4 of Star Wars, New Hope. And I watched this as a child. I was like 5 years old. And then at 6 came Empire Strikes Back. And with it, one of the most epic realizations in all of cinematic history. Now, spoiler alert, if you've never seen these and if you don't know the plot line, come out from under a rock and learn this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I know specific people who have never seen this, and it is fine. I realize that these are slightly older movies now than even almost everyone in this room. But this is an important moment, and this is when a certain child finds out that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father. So let's watch.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Search your feelings. You know it to be true.
No! No!
Luke, you can destroy the Emperor. He has foreseen this. It is your destiny. Join me, and together we can rule the galaxy.
As father and son.
No, I'll never join you. I thought for sure that we were going to find out in episode 6, which was the third one that came out, that was not true. I kept telling my parents, that can't be true. It can't be true. And then I found out from wise Ben Kenobi sitting next to Luke that it was, and I came to grips with that. I keep wanting to show Benjamin that, but even though I saw it when I was 5 and 6, I just think, man, I don't think he's really ready to receive all of that input of those movies. And I know some kid at school is going to tell him, and I really want to experience that with him, but I can't get myself to show those movies, nor can my wife allow me to show those movies, which is wise. What if we had that same heartfelt reaction of that kid, maybe with a slightly different tinge on it, when we realize that God is our Father? I mean, that kind of like type experience that kid had with the bulging eyes and the big open mouth. When we realize that this creator God, this God of the entire universe, is our Father. And if we woke up each morning and went, wow, that's really awesome, God, that you're our Father. And we acknowledge that each morning. I think it might change even the way we see the world and we see our life. Okay, so God is our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven. Okay. So, who art in heaven. Well, we're not going to spend a long time with this. But people ask me sometimes, okay, where is God? Like, where is he? Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven. So, where is the Father right now? He's in heaven. All right. Now, where is heaven? There's the next logical question. That's a great question. If you guys figure it out, let me know. If you ever want to hear my theory, some of you guys know this theory that I have. Scientists and mathematicians feel like they've proven that there are more time and space dimensions than the four that we live in, right? Height, width, depth, and time, linear time going this direction. So scientists feel like they've proven in mathematicians up to a potential of 11 parts of time and space, dimensions of time and space. My theory is that there are actually 12, just because God works in 12s. You know, he always does. There's 12 disciples, there's 12 tribes of Israel. He just likes that number. So my guess is there are 12 dimensions in time and space. And so where is heaven? Really, it's existing in our reality. Where do angels and demons and all those things hang out? Well, they're existing in our reality right now, except for the fact that we can't see them because we're in this four-dimensional time and space and we're not out there in the rest of the 12 dimensions. Now, again, that is theory. I have no idea if that's necessarily true. But four-dimensional time, when you start thinking about it, makes God make a lot more sense. Oh, there we go. That's how he ins and outs in there and gets and figures things out. But anyway, that's all just theory. Please know. So where is God the Father? The reality, the answer to that is God the Father is in heaven. Okay, God the Son is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. That's where he tells us he's going to. Now, people will ask, does Jesus sometimes kind of come into the earth at various places? We read in Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three guys get thrown into a fiery furnace, and they say there's one walking around him who is like God. Some scholars believe that was the incarnate Jesus placing himself in there and kind of putting them at peace. Some believe it was an angel. You never know exactly what it was. So would Jesus have the opportunity like a Bruce Almighty, you know, where you know, God comes in the flesh of Samuel L. Jackson, is it? Is that who it is? Bruce Almighty? No, who is it? Morgan Freeman. Yeah, one of those. Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson, Morgan Freeman. I always get those two guys confused. So he comes as Morgan Freeman right to the earth. Does Jesus have the ability to still do that? Yes. Does he do it? I don't know. But he also says that when you do something to the least of these, you've done this unto me. So, you know, maybe, who knows? But general idea, God the Father on the throne, God the Son sitting next to him. So that brings, where is the Holy Spirit right now? Benjamin, my six-year-old, decided around 3 years old to start following Jesus, which was really awesome. And we had a conversation when he was about four. And he was like, Daddy, Jesus was like a giant. He was huge. And I was like, well, probably from what we know about like the history of mankind, he was probably a little shorter than Daddy was. But then his eyes started going back and forth. And if you ever become a parent, a lot of kids will do this when they're in distress or when they're thinking heavily. Their eyes will just twitch back and forth. And it looks really freaky. But I was like, okay, well, Benjamin must be thinking something deeply. And I was like, Benjamin, what's wrong? You seem worried. He's like, Daddy, Jesus can't be in my heart. I'm like, why? He's like, because he's too big. he's almost as big as you are. He can't live there. And so we started talking about the Holy Spirit and the fact that really what we mean is that we have decided to start following God through Jesus. And when that happens, that the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and indwells inside of us and gives us wisdom and gives us direction and helps lead us if we're willing to listen to him. He was getting confused. So I was like, it's kind of like having God's breath inside of you. And he stops and goes, and I'm like, Benjamin, you cannot blow the Holy Spirit out of your body. It's okay. Promise. He's not going anywhere. So I just wanted to go into that for a moment because that is a tricky part of that prayer. Okay, our Father who art in heaven. Okay, well, if God is in heaven, then who's where? So hopefully that gives you a little bit of where that was. But the majority of our time we're going to spend under these words, hallowed be thy name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, another way, Jim talked about this last week, but more to say, like, we don't really use that term very much anymore. But to define it, you maybe define it as kept holy, continually being holy. Now, if you've been in church all your life, or maybe if you just came for the first time today, you still might be confused. What does this word holy mean? We use it all the time, and we have an idea of God as holy, and we're supposed to somehow start to be like that, but we never will fully, but God sees us that way, but we're not fully there. What does holy mean? It really, in a narrow sense, it kind of means separated from sin. On a broader sense, it might be, you might say it's like set apart, other than. There, God the Father, though he is intimate with us and cares for us, he is this other than being. We are created in his image, but we will never be fully like him. He is separated from sin. He is the fullness of goodness. He is the fullness of glory. He is the fullness of all of these things. That's a concept of what we're talking about when we say holy. And when we say hallowed, it means kept holy. God, your name is to continually be kept holy. And this is how we should pray. Remember, again, this is how we should pray, not necessarily what we should pray. And so the idea, this isn't necessarily a formula where it's like, okay, I've got to go through the hallowed part and then I've got to go through this, but it does give us direction on how to pray, right? This is how we should pray. And so a lot of times it can be good to start prayer with just an acknowledgement of who God is. And even more than acknowledgement, a worship time of God with our words, to verbally say to God those things that are so great about him, how great he is, how holy he is, how powerful he is. When we don't know how to pray or what to pray or where to start, this is a good place. It kind of puts us in the reality of who God is and who we are in relation to God. Some would call this adoration. This is another word, to adore God. Some might call it praise, to acknowledge God, to praise God simply for who he is. Not necessarily starting into our list of things that we've got to pray for, not necessarily starting with ourselves and even our own brokenness, but starting with an acknowledgement of who God is, worshiping him with our words. We started the talk in Revelation 4 with this verse, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. We're going to look at the context of this real quick. Certain people are super excited about the book of Revelation, right? We want to figure out exactly how this whole end of the world thing is going to look like and what it's going to look like and what the, you know, dragon with 12 horns and all that stuff. What does it mean? Is it real? Is it reality? Obviously it's real, but is it like an analogy of something? And, trying to figure out, and scholars have talked about it for years and years. And it's an intriguing book. Some of us are a little like, I don't want to touch that book. Like, I don't want to, because of those things, and because we've heard people like predict, you know, what was it, May something this year was going to be the definite in the world. And somebody said, I know when it's going to happen. And then it came. It was like the first day of LT, of our leadership training program. And we're like, well, welcome. We hope we're here for 10 weeks. May or may not be. We'll see by the end of the day. And we were. Obviously there is a reality to the end of the world, but when somebody tells you they know exactly when it's coming, you may want to stray away from them, or reprove them, one of the two. But we shouldn't be leery of this book, because in reality, this book of Revelation is less about knowing exactly what's going to happen and more realizing that our life and our eternity is about worshiping God. This is really, if you go back and read, and I was challenged to do this one time, as a book of worship, a book of honoring God a book of honoring Jesus? Wow. It's a really powerful book. We shouldn't be leery of it. It's a foretaste of heaven. It's a foretaste of heavenly worship. It's a foretaste of this majesty of God that's not only going to happen someday, but is happening in reality in heaven right now. It gives us an idea of what hallowed be your name is, I think. And it gives us more of an idea of how to pray, how to adore God, how to give God the honor that he deserves. Because the reality is when we do those things, we are joining in with this thing that's been going on since all of time of God, you know, there in the Trinity, long, long time ago, kind of giving worship and honor to himself and then creating, and all these beings are worshiping God, and we are joining in something that has been going on for a long, long, long time. So with that in mind, let's listen to all of Revelation 4 and put those two verses I shared in context. If you want to close your eyes and listen and kind of visualize some, this is a very like imagery heavy chapter. If you want to read the words on the screen, you can do that if that's helpful for you. The words should be in your bulletin as well if it's more helpful to read and the inside of your bulletin. If you unfold it, it's right inside there as well. Revelation 4 says this, "After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had an appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast down their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.'" When we start our prayers, it's a good place to start is to start here. It's a good place to align our hearts and our minds with this eternal reality that he, that God, our Father, is worthy to receive glory and honor and power. It is an eternal reality that's going on right now. What we just read, all of that stuff, is going on currently right now. And as we imagine that, as we think of the idea of that, of the greatness of that, and then we place ourselves there and we say similar things to God, we allow our hearts to be aligned with what's going on that maybe is sometimes hard to grasp. When we don't know how to pray, this is a good place to start. Acknowledging who God is and who we are in relation to Him. He is a Father to all. And He is a Father to each of us that are followers of Him. He is the King of the universe. And He's the King of our lives. It is an act of worship. It is an act of adoration. It is aligning our hearts to that eternal reality that He's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. So what we're going to do today is a little bit different. Usually I'll close with a prayer, but what we're going to do today is we're going to read together, as we did last week, a more classic reading of the Lord's Prayer. Then we're going to take a time where we sing a song of worship together. I'm going to just grab a guitar and we're just going to sing it very simply. And the song is Holy, Holy, Holy. It's a hymn. You may be very familiar with it. You may not be familiar with it at all. Either way, that's fine. Read through the words. Think about them. Imagine them as you sing them. And then I'm going to open it up for just simple prayers of adoration. We don't do this here very much in large group. We do it a lot more in our engaged groups and other places. But we'll just open it up for a time of prayer. And anybody, you know, at your seats, if you want to pray just a short, very simple prayer of adoration. We won't go into praying for things and praying about, you know, situations and things like that. We're just going to stay with this simple idea of praising and worshiping God for who He is. And then we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together when it seems like a good time. We'll say the Lord's Prayer together again in a slightly more contemporary version. Just so you're aware, we're going to go through as it's stated in the Scripture, not necessarily traditionally what you might have heard. Traditionally, there's been a part at the end that says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And that is something that the church has historically done. But from what we can tell from looking back at some of the more closer, more older manuscripts, that part more than likely wasn't there in the beginning. Does it mean Jesus didn't say it? Probably not. He probably did. It may have been added in by somebody who knew that saying had happened. Or it may have been something that the church added later as a part to kind of bring some finality to it. But we're going to pray as it was, it kind of in its original state. So we're going to pray this prayer together, worship together through a song. We'll pray out loud. Anyone who wants to may, and then we'll pray again the Lord's Prayer. So let me awkwardly walk over and grab the guitar before we start into all this so that we're ready. It's been a little while since I've played a guitar, so bear with me. So let's go ahead and stand together as we do this. And as we do, think about the fact that we are saying this prayer that Jesus said some 2,000 years ago, just under 2,000 years ago, something that the church has said historically throughout the past 2,000 years, and something that is similar to what's going on even right now before the throne of God. So let's pray. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Holy, holy, holy. Rise. First verse one more time and really try to picture these words of us early in the morning as the people of God waking up and acknowledging God as our Father, acknowledging who He is, acknowledging His greatness, His glory, His majesty, and also acknowledging the fact that He loves and cares for each one of us very deeply. Let's join together and sing. Holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to Thee. God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Holy, holy, holy are you, God. We praise you for who you are. Let's pray. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today and forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. You guys can have a seat.